Sometimes it feels like the news is full of things that have never happened before. And that is not exactly true. In fact, it may have happened this very week, hundreds or thousands of years ago. I'm Sally Helm, host of the podcast History This Week from the History Channel. Trade embargoes? Thomas Jefferson tried them. Rent too high? We've been arguing about that for a while. Each episode is proof. The past isn't that far away. Listen to History This Week, available now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, back in the saddle. Feels so good. Welcome. Happy Monday. Great to be with you here on News Radio 930 WBEM. Want to thank the financial guys for filling in for me Wednesday, Thursday, Friday last week. Want to thank Tom Puckett for filling in for me on Hardline yesterday. Just feels good to be back, right? And I'll tell you, I love the beach. I love the hot temps. You know, you get used to it. By the end of the week, you're used to it. And then you leave. But very relaxing. Always nice to take a few days, relax. You know, a few too many adult beverages. And I don't mean like all at once. I mean just a week of adult beverages. You know, you get a little bloated. But was a nice, relaxing. The only issue was I took the wrong days off. My gosh, I'm out of town, and I get a month's worth of topics in the 3 days I'm gone. Believe it or not. I mean, the things that we had happen in Western New York last week, starting with the Buffalo School Board, and we'll get into that in just a few seconds, and then, I mean, Cheektowaga. What is going on with the Democratic Party in the town of Cheektowaga? I can't wait. I almost flew home after what happened in Cheektowaga because I wanted to talk about it as it was developing. But we will do that today. We're going to talk about it today. But first, we obviously have to start with the Buffalo School Board. And just, I mean, dysfunction, I think, is a nice way to put what's going on with the Buffalo School Board. And I don't know if we're getting the full story from what, who knew what, when. I'm not convinced more people didn't know exactly what was going on. I heard Eric Bowen yesterday and this morning here on WBEN, and I'm not saying Eric's lying, okay? I'm just saying, if the school board is going to say to us, we need more transparency, well, then it needs to start from the school board, right? There's nothing the people of Buffalo can do, but there is something that people on the school board can do. Like, if you're not getting the information, I want to know, what did you think happened last Monday when the superintendent all of a sudden stepped down and you waived the 90-day grace period? Why did you think you were doing that? The school board had to waive the grace period. Like, you would have had to know, you would have had to know this was something serious to waive the 90-day grace period. And if it was just a formality, then why is that language even in the contract? If it's just a formality to waive the 90 days, then let's just get rid of the 90 days. Because to me, the school board last Monday, I'm going to assume, knew what type of claims have been made against the superintendent. And if you want transparency, when you're asked questions by Jim Fink or Rob Petrie, and you just stare and walk away, Who's supposed to have trust in this school board? I mean, so far, this looks like a complete failure on the people who are put in place to have our children's best interest. And what it seems like is that it's just a bunch of bickering like Congress. The school board is supposed to be there to make sure the schools are the best for the children of the city of Buffalo. And let's be honest, the schools in Buffalo have not been the best, and that's nothing against the teachers in the district, because there are some great teachers in Buffalo who really just want the absolute best for the children. But, I mean, I knew there was incompetence in City Hall. I did not know that it spread to the school board in the fashion that it does. And you're trying to tell me we need transparency. We need transparency. Okay, well, it starts with you. And if you didn't know why you were doing all those things on Monday, then you need to call out the people who kept it from you by name. Not just say, well, some higher up people in the school board. No, say by name. Say by name who withheld that information. And why wasn't that made public on Monday? The reason for resignation is blank. Because we are very close to the state just coming in and running the whole show. Now, I'm not saying that's going to be better. I don't. There's not much I trust New York State with. But what's the next? Oh, trust us, we'll get it right this time. You know, as I talked about on Tuesday, before we knew about the claims, as I said on Tuesday, it's already a bad look for the City of Buffalo schools that will now be on their fourth superintendent in 6 years. I mean, I'm sorry, who's currently on with the interim superintendent, their fourth superintendent in 6 years. That lack of stability mixed in with the clear dysfunction in incompetence of the school board, it's really sad. It's depressing to look at the City of Buffalo. The City of Buffalo deserves better. And unfortunately, they've gotten the worst when it comes to the mayor and when it comes to the school district. I mean, 0 for 2. And you're failing the students, you're failing the teachers, you're failing other staff members, clearly. And the answer is, we need more transparency and we'll get it right this time. Well, if you can't figure out that the transparency, the problem, you're blocking the transparency. This is a school board problem. Obviously, poor judgment time and time again from the school board. Now, Eric Bowen, as I said, he was nice enough to be on yesterday with Puckett and this morning with Susan and Brian. He had a few things to say that I cut out here. And here's the first one, talking about the former superintendent.
I think that we need to learn from our mistakes in the past of the hiring process. And I said earlier, maybe we need to look at character evaluations. And we need to really dig deep into our next superintendent search.
Now, he talked about finding out about the allegations on WBEN. Now, I'm not calling Eric Bowen a liar. Please do not. But, well, here, I'll play the clip and then I'll tell you what I want to say. Because I'm not accusing Eric of knowing. I mean, I saw his comments afterwards on Monday. I'm just saying, why would you waive the 90 days? You didn't have any more questions. And I think you should call out the people by name who withheld that information. Here's what he had to say.
It came to light when I saw the breaking news on WBEN. I knew there was suspicion and chatter throughout City Hall, but our leadership team had these allegations. I did not see them. I still, to this day, have not seen them. Regarding Dr. Mbanga, I had no clue, and that was probably one of the biggest shocks of my life, seeing that. And it was just a very, very hard day for me, hard day for the board, that occurred.
Yeah, so the leadership needs to change. It's not just the superintendent, who clearly has to be removed and hopefully is never trusted to be a superintendent again. I mean, if you look at his record in Durham, now it wasn't the same type of claims in Durham, but he left that district a mess. He comes to Buffalo, and I mean, if you listen to some of these claims, shouldn't have even made the 11 months. But if the leadership is holding that from the school board, then that's on the school board members to demand that they are in the loop. Why you can, now again, I do believe Eric when he says that it was a shock. I think it was a shock to everybody. But you have to demand that the leadership keep you in the loop, because you know who looks bad? The school board members. Every school board member looks awful in this situation. Every school board member looks awful in this situation. And the Monday comments to the media, I mean, I hate to steal a saying from David, but it's a clown show. Watching those statements and certain board members just ignoring the media, and then you want to come out today and say we need more transparency. Well, it starts with the school board. And if it's leadership, then the school board needs to do something about the leadership. But I think trust is so far gone in this school board, I'm not really sure what you do to regain that trust. It's not just hiring a new superintendent, because now that superintendent is going to be under the microscope, which they should. And everything in the city school district right now should be under a microscope. But you have all this going on. And like I said, at the end of the day, you're failing the students. You're failing the teachers of the district who are trying to do what's best for the kids. Like I said, there are some great teachers in the city. They want what's best for the kids, but they're up against the school board, which right now is coming across is quite incompetent. And I hate to keep on using that word, but that's how it's coming across. That's how it's looking to the people of Western New York. And I know some wise person's going to get on the text board and say, well, Joe, you don't even live in the city. Why do you care about the city school district? Well, I'm sorry. I care about the next generation, no matter where we are in Western New York or in the United States of America. And as I always say, as Buffalo goes, Western New York goes. I think we should all be concerned about the mess that right now is the Buffalo public school system. And it starts with test scores. It starts with graduation rates. But then when you see the mess at the school board, it's like, well, how are we going to turn this around when, A, we can't keep a superintendent for more than 2 years? And the one we do keep for more than 2 years doesn't even live here. Kreiner Cash, who doesn't even live in Buffalo, goes to press conferences with a suit, with a button-up shirt, a suit coat, and sweatpants. He doesn't even live in Buffalo. And then since he's gone, you've had three in what, 4 years? In 4 and 6 years. So it just screams that it needs to be taken over. And again, I don't trust New York with much. But does anyone think that New York would be any worse than what we have seen the last decade from the Buffalo public schools? Now, Eric Bowen also shed some light on the infighting on the board. And just to continue with, if you think the problem is just that leadership's not talking to the school board, or if you just think that the problem is they made a bad hire, it seems like there is a swirling issue inside the Buffalo school board of the Buffalo Public Schools. Here's what Eric Bowen had to say.
I certainly can see it. However, for myself, I get along with every last one on the board. They come to me. I have a great relationship with them, and I'm looking forward to unifying that board in the next few weeks, because certainly we're going to need it. We're going to need it for the kids. We're going to need it for the city. We cannot continue to go down this path of fighting, and this person said this, and this person said that. What's the point? We're adults here. As I said in the one board meeting, we're professionals. Let's start acting like it.
So that was Eric Bowen. He's currently on the board, talking about the infighting. Well, then we have Cindy McKeon, who just resigned, talking about her resignation.
I think having a lot of experience on boards, this was a rude awakening when I was first elected to the board, and the just kind of dysfunction that happened behind the scenes. I ran on a campaign for trying to increase governance and help my colleagues learn how to lead effectively. And I think if anything, it just kind of spiraled more out of control than when I first started.
She was then asked about a state intervention. Here's what she had to say.
I do think we need some level of oversight at this point. We can't seem to get out of our own way, and it wouldn't hurt to have a layer in there for some additional checks and balances.
It's a really sad situation, and then it's one of those things where you don't realize, like, again, you look at the Buffalo public schools, and we know that, hey, that's, there's obviously been some type of problem there. Again, we can't keep a superintendent. And, you know, obviously there's, you look at test grades, you look at graduation rates, you look at attendance. I mean, they're pooling money, they're giving money away for students who come to class, right? If you come to class, what is it, a full month? You get put into a lottery to win money. That's how we're getting kids to come to school, is by paying them. So obviously we knew there was issues, but when this is the board that's running the district, and now we're things, you know, you're starting to peel back layers here, and you're starting to see, wow, how can we expect the schools to turn around? How can we expect the best out of the Buffalo public schools when the school board is a mess? When the school board is an absolute mess. 803-0930, star 930. Are you shocked? Obviously, by the claims against the former superintendent. I mean, I think we're all shocked by that was going on for as long as it was going on, and that people knew, as if you read through the claims, people knew and were making comments to the person making the claim. So that's obviously shocking, but are you surprised with how deep the dysfunction seemingly goes in the school board? And who do you blame for the transparency issues in the Buffalo school board? Like I said, I'm not saying that certain members didn't know why they were voting to waive the 90 days or why they were voting on the resignation of the former superintendent. But it's on those board members to demand answers, right? Like if someone at your job said, hey, yeah, this is changing and you need to sign off on it, are you not going to ask a few questions? Maybe read a little bit into it before you sign off on it? And like I said, if the 90 days thing is a formality, then get rid of it. Why even put that in the contract? That just seems like a waste of time. And do you think the state should step in? This is one where I'm a little uneasy just running to the state, because I'm not one to trust the state with much. But should the state intervene and take over operation of the Buffalo Public Schools? Should the state select the next superintendent? 803-0930, star 930. Would love to talk with parents in the district, teachers, faculty members in the district, and how you're processing this. I have a family member who's a teacher in the city schools, and we were all on vacation last week, and just to hear their reaction as the news was breaking, right? First on the resignation, and then when we learned why there was a resignation, to get that kind of insight and hear their, not only reaction, but their commentary of what's been going on in the schools, it is quite shocking. And like I said, with everything now breaking, we're kind of peeling back the layers and finding out, oh my gosh, this is a bigger mess than maybe once thought. 803-0930, star 930. Talk with you after news on WBEN.
It is not hard to destroy a college. Last season, the podcast Campus Files brought you stories of fraternity drug rings, stolen body parts, campus cults, and more.
And now, Campus Files is back for another season.
There's a guy screaming into his phone. He's like, I just saw Charlie Kirk get assassinated right in front of me.
Every week is a new episode and a new story.
It was so chaotic. It's almost like a university under siege.
Listen to and follow Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Joe Beamer back on this Monday, News Radio 930 WBEN. Hope everyone had a great weekend. There's some ridiculous stuff that I want to get to later in the show. I don't know if you've heard about what a certain airline's doing to for passengers who might not like the name of the airport they're landing in. But you want to talk about ridiculous. We'll get to that toward the end of the show. 803-0930, star 930. We're talking about the Buffalo School Board. This story, it broke on my the last day I was here, last week on Tuesday. Then obviously we got the reason for the resignation after my vacation had started. And I'm thinking to myself, of course, I'm off and now all this news is happening. 803-0930, star 930. What do you believe is in the best interest for the Buffalo Public Schools? Do you trust the school board to hire the next superintendent? Do you trust the school board going forward? Should the state step in? What do you believe is best for the district, which means best for the children of the city of Buffalo? 803-0930, star 930. Let's go out to Hamburg. That's where John is. Hey, John, thanks for hanging on.
Hey, how you doing? I just question, like, where is the guy right now? Did he leave the country? Or anybody know about him?
He has disappeared. I don't know if he went back to Durham, North Carolina. But he, no one's talked to him. I mean, obviously, John, he's going to have to appear in a courtroom, right, to face these allegations.
Well, and secondly, you're right. I mean, that should be assault charges. That, I mean, you can't be personally touching your whatever.
Of course.
And not getting away with it, right?
Of course. I mean, the claims in there are criminal, right? I mean, those are criminal charges, and we'll have to see where those go. But since Monday, he had a meeting with the president of the Teacher Federation. Since then, no one has seen him.
And nobody's talking about it.
No. I mean, yeah, I will expect him to be in a courtroom sometime soon. That's probably a better question, John, for John Elmore. And when we will see him in a courtroom, John Hamburg, appreciate it. Yeah, John Elmore, who is one of the attorneys on the claim. He is representing the person who made the claim. And I'd be interested in when we would see this move to court, when we would see Dr. Mbenga in court. It would be the first time we have seen him again since he walked out of that meeting with the president of the Teachers Federation last Monday before this news broke 4 hours later. But again, as I said, it's not as if now. Obviously, these are two completely different things. Sexual harassment and mishandling money are two completely different things, okay? But you look at the history of the superintendent. Now, he resigned in 2024 because of pay disputes. And it was so interesting, again, being down in North Carolina when this broke and this being on the news because he was the Durham public school superintendent who resigned in Durham because of accusations of mishandling money. His departure from Durham came after district faced widespread criticism over payroll errors that left hundreds of employees underpaid. The salary problem stemmed from the implementation of a new compensation plan approved by the school board. Before serving as superintendent, he was a teacher and assistant principal during his career. But again, to John's point, yeah, eventually he's going to have to be in a courtroom. Now, we have not talked about the member of the school board, Hawkins, who is also in this. He is accused of, quote, engaging in unwelcome, sexually charged, hostile, and threatening conduct towards the person making the claim and other female district employees. Now, he was at the meeting this morning, and he says that was a surprise to him. This is what Lewis Hawkins, known as Mookie Hawkins, says. He was blindsided by allegations that he and now Superintendent Dr. Pascal Mubenga are accused in a legal notice of claim that they allegedly sexually and personally harassed a female school district employee. Hawkins says, despite the call from some, including at least one in his own school board, he is not resigning and will fight the allegations. In the notice, Mubenga and Hawkins were named in very graphic and descriptive allegations of sexual and personal harassment of a female employee in the district's administrative offices. The allegations against Mubenga is believed to be a central factor in his resignation. Well, of course. The superintendent will have to answer those allegations himself, Hawkins said in an exclusive interview with WBEN. As for Hawkins, he admits to being caught off guard by the allegations. I didn't see that coming, Hawkins said. Since late May, there have been reports that an unnamed school board member was at the center of allegations that focused on sexual harassment of a district employee. The school board hired the Hodgson Russ law firm to handle the investigation. Until the notice of claim was filed, no school board member had been identified. Hawkins says, I can only control what I can control. This is where God asked me to be. Hawkins said he respects the investigative process. I will answer any questions. Now, Hawkins should also, so do you believe the allegations against the superintendent? If you're both named in this, are they all false or just the ones that involve you are false? I don't know. That's one of my questions. That's my question when looking at this. 803-0930, star 930 gets you on the program. But if we can't get straight answers out of the school board, and let's be honest, this isn't the first time, okay? Not the first time that the spotlight has been on the Buffalo school board. But it seems as if every time we start looking at the Buffalo school board, we do see dysfunction. And now Larry Scott, who is on the school board, said this.
Right now, we're not following policy. We're not protecting the rights and dignity of our staff right now. And so I think something needs to be done so there's clear guidance on how we should proceed based on the current circumstances.
But with an answer like that, and we've had Larry Scott on the show, with an answer like that, does that sound like someone who should be part of the, like, to me, okay, if you need guidance, then maybe we'll just bring someone in, we'll bring another board in, or someone else in to make this selection. The school board has swung and missed on some superintendents, okay? And now, when you want the trust of the public, you wait for the media, the local media, to tell the parents, to tell the students, to tell the teachers why the superintendent was let go or had resigned. You don't think that's the position of the school board? And I know people would say, well, that's not our position. We're not legal counsel. But you knew why he had there's someone on that school board who knew why he resigned. And again, I have a family member who teaches in the city schools on vacation last week. That they found out that he had resigned and why he resigned through the media. Through us watching the Buffalo 11 o'clock news and listening to WBEN. So the communication, you had a chance to regain trust or gain trust, and you continued to cover it up. Parents and teachers and faculty members of Buffalo Public Schools should not find out that the superintendent had resigned from Joe Beamer or from Tom Puckett. They should find that out by members of the school board. And then when you're pressed on these questions, to just stare at the media as you're walking away, does that seem like the board who cares about the public? Does that sound like members of the board who care about transparency People at that meeting on Monday knew why this guy was resigning. They knew the claims were out there. And they waited until someone in the media got their hands on it. You don't regain trust that way. You'll lose more trust. And I don't think there's much trust in the Buffalo school board right now. And there's not much trust in the Buffalo schools. And this is not making it any better. 803-0930, star 930. Larry Quinn, former member, had this to say about the last 20 years of the Buffalo Public Schools.
I think it's accumulation of the last 20 years of just an extremely failed system. I saw the other day that John Rivera called for this, and I totally support it. Just too many children are being deprived of an education and a future, and the problems of the current school board are just one more manifestation, but the problem is much, much bigger, and I think it's time to end this nonsense and get some real reform and really change to this district. It needs to be changed from top to bottom. The best example would be the fiscal control board we had years ago that really saved Buffalo. I think you need something on that scale for the school district, a board that has power to completely change contracts and administration and the whole nine yards. I mean, the system is so out of date, so backward, so I guess sounds corrupt now. It's been this way for a long time. So I'm hoping that although this is tragic and unfortunate, maybe it's the inspiration to finally address this.
So who would make up that board, right? If you have something like the fiscal control board take over, you have a control board take over the city schools, who makes up that board that wouldn't have the same tired, outdated, in Larry Quinn's words, ideas and processes that the current school board has? Brian in Buffalo. Brian.
Hey, Joe, how are you, man?
Doing all right.
Joe, I just wanted to comment and say that, you know what, I feel like there is a black cloud over our city right now. I mean, from the inaction of Sean Ryan to our failing public schools to the school board, which has been an utter failure, our property taxes are rising, our user fees are rising, you know, And the services seem to just be getting less and less and less. And what is happening to our schools right now is a shame, and it is a disgrace. And how these people cannot get, you know, what you have to do is you have to come up with policy, and you have to stick to those policies. And we have to have a massive reversal in what is going on in Buffalo here. I don't know how we're going to do it, and I don't know what's the future is going to hold, but I mean, you know, we just came out of a week where we were drowned in wildfire smoke, our entire city. You know, I'm a painter. I couldn't work. I don't want to work outside breathing in all those carcinogens and all that smoke. And I just feel, you know, discouraged with the way our city's going. And last thing I'll leave you with this, Joe, I saw a video on Instagram from a channel called Buffalo 4K TV. And it was just a guy unconscious getting beat on the ground and kicked in the head and kicked in the back and in front of Mandela's Market over on the east side. And I saw the video, and this is just one big culmination of our city's demise, in my opinion. It's sad.
Brian, I think that's a great way to put it. I mean, these last few weeks, it does seem like there is a black cloud over Buffalo. And, you know, you've got the governor here and the mayor doing a photo shot, a photo shoot or a photo op, sorry, at Canal Side, and just ignoring all these issues that have faced Buffalo. And really, I mean, the topper is this the school board issue. It's unfortunate, Brian, because, you know, people like you and me, we love the city. We love Western New York. And it's just like the people in power keep on making the wrong choices. Now, are they purposely doing it? That's a discussion for a different time. But continuously making the wrong decisions that are really just continue to bury the city.
I know. And Joe, it is just, it's been so discouraging how, you know, Kathy Hochul, how she could be from here and turn her back on us and just, I mean, saying we're not sophisticated and, you know, the whole thing just, it's all a slap in the face. And I mean, costs are just rising and rising and rising. And it's a hard state to do business in, Joe. I'll tell you that.
Oh, I can only imagine. I can only imagine, Brian.
Yeah, but have a good one, Joe. Thank you.
Hey, appreciate the call as always, Brian in Buffalo. It's sad, you know. And I always say this on my shows. I want to be able to come on the air one day and just do all positive. But my gosh, every time you turn, there's something going wrong. And I really hate that for Buffalo. I hate that for the city that I love, right? The region I love. I'm here for a reason, right? If I didn't love it, I wouldn't have gone to college in Western New York. I wouldn't have stayed in Western New York. You know, I love it here. And I always say the people who are remaining here are people who love it here. They've made it work. But we need to do the people of Buffalo better. We need to do, the children of Buffalo deserve better. And this is just an all-around complete failure. And, you know, yeah, I'm sure it's nice to be an elected official and be able to sign your name on, you know, a piece of steel that goes into a building and say, look what we're doing here. But when you can't even get a school board to give a consistent answer, number one, when you can't answer the questions, when you can't give people the feeling of, we got this, we're focusing on this, that's when, you know, it's all just one. It's here's the smoke and mirrors. You know, Sean Ryan is so quick to call things he doesn't like a red herring, right? Oh, my deputy mayors, that's a red herring to focus on that. Yet it's Sean Ryan who's out there with his YouTube videos and his TikToks and his photo ops downtown. He's so quick to do the red herring himself so he can ignore the spike in violence. So he can ignore what's going on in the school district. Now, I realize the school board is separate from the city. But you are the mayor of Buffalo. You've got to have something to say on this. You've got to have some opinion of what you would like to see done with this. But unfortunately, I think Brian's right. I mean, you know, on vacation, we were also with a friend of ours who no longer lives in Buffalo, moved down to Florida. But, you know, were with us for a week, so they were following the Buffalo news with us. And, I mean, this is someone who's been out of Buffalo now for close to a decade. And, I mean, couldn't believe the dysfunction that's going on at every level of government in Western New York, in New York State. And that's someone who lived here until the pandemic. And now, you know, watching from afar, watching from 1,000 miles away, cannot believe that it's continuing to, the city is continuing to be buried by people who for some reason continue to follow the same failing format, the same failing process. And it's sad. It's really sad. But the children deserve better. The teachers of the city of Buffalo deserve better. The faculty deserves better. And if that means the state coming in, if that means someone else coming in and getting rid of this current school board to get some stability back in the district, I think you have to let it happen because there is no stability. Four superintendents over 6 years. Certain members of the board knew why the resignation happened. Others didn't. One school board member's mentioned in the same claim as the superintendent who stepped down because of the accusations. How do you go forward? School's less than 2 months away. How do you go forward? How do you get the school ready to welcome back kids when there's nothing but questions surrounding the Buffalo School Board? And what's next? 803-0930, star 930. I will continue to take calls on this, obviously. It is a big topic, and it's one that's not going to go away anytime soon. And also, when we come back, Cheektowaga Democrats don't even want to live in Cheektowaga. We'll talk about it when we come back on WBEN. Hour number two, the Back from Vacation edition. And well, this, you know, you plan a show out, right? I you ever get, what's the movie that's from where the guy's got the strings on the board? It's a very popular meme, and he's trying to explain, you know, certain things like Democrats telling you why voting without voter ID is a safer election. That's me before a show. I'm putting a show together. But then things happen, like the subject of your next topic calls in to talk about your next topic. And, you know, of course that scores points with me because too many people avoid the show. And now here's someone that I was going to spend 30 minutes talking about calling in to explain. So before we go to our guest on the WBEN hotline, last week, again, the week I'm off, this happens, we find out that former now Cheektowaga council member Stephen Nowicki had to resign, allegedly, because he doesn't live in Cheektowaga. And this is the Channel 7 story. Cheektowaga council member resigns after questions surrounding residency. The Cheektowaga Democrat Committee announced that council member Stephen Nowicki has resigned after questions surrounding his residency. Now, I was going to make a comment like, I knew Democrats were against ID, but this is a bit extreme. But Stephen Nowicki has called in to explain it. So without further ado, former Cheektowaga council member Stephen Nowicki. Stephen, welcome back to the show.
Hey, thank you very much for letting me on. You know, funny enough, the last time I talked to you, I wasn't a councilman, and right here again, not a councilman again. So isn't that a funny change of the world?
That is something, Stephen. So, you know, I looked at this, and so could you explain in your, obviously from your view, what exactly happened? How did we get to this point where you had to step down over residency? The whole step-by-step.
Sure. So start of the year, obviously, I'm living in Cheektowaga. That's the only property I own. And, you know, just going through the process of that. And the wife and I were just browsing, looking at homes, thinking like, oh, you know, maybe something to invest in our future one day. And we happened across the house that we all know about nowadays. And essentially through the mortgage process, we were talking with, I don't know if it was our lawyer or mortgage broker. And the entire time we were like, hey, we need to, like, I have a job I have to do. Is it right if just the wife lives there? Oh, yeah, sure. At this point in time, I don't know whether I was lied to or misinformed or what have you. But essentially what it came down to that we all found out about was it was required that both the people on the paperwork had to be residents there and not just the one that I was informed of. And it's a bit apropos that somebody who's elected to read out contracts and put it in place gets taken down by one sentence in all the documents. So that's really what it came down to. When we purchased the property, I was of the understanding she could live, my wife could live at the one property, I could live at my house in Cheektowaga. We could abide by both of those agreements. And it all turned out that that was not what the official record was at the end of the day.
So because, I mean, what do they claim? Because there's people in Congress who don't live in the house they own in their district, and they can represent the district in Congress. So just because you own the house in Cheektowaga, that's not enough. You had to be living there 12 months out of the year. What was the exact language?
My understanding of the law and what I was told was there's really no, like, 50% of the days plus one, it was your intent of living there. And that goes down to essentially whatever, if this went in that direction, whatever judge would look at this would feel whatever my intention was to the best of it. So I had to be at the mercy of the court of public opinion and the court of this judge's opinion on whether or not my intent was living at that house, whether or not, you know, I felt it was that way. I was going to be at the mercy of what some possible other person would think of. And, you know, I tried to split my assets between the houses so my wife didn't have to live in poverty and I could live a little less well off. But as some people that I confided with pretty much told me is a judge probably wouldn't believe you. And for me to be willing to fight something, even if I thought I was in the right to at the end of the day still lose, that was a bunch of damage that I didn't feel that the people in the town needed to deal with, my fellow council members, my fellow party members. I didn't believe that strife would be worth what would eventually probably still have me lose at the end of the day, even with good intentions.
So who pointed this out to you? Was it the Democrats? Was it the town of Cheektowaga? Who was the one that finally said this probably isn't going to work?
It liaisoned through my party chair, Lynn, my local party chair, Giermeier. She was telling me that I guess the people she was talking with at the higher level, the lawyers, were like, this is going to come down to a lot of opinions and how people feel and what they think is the right thing. And essentially, if you think you're going to win, you know, you have the right to do so. But this is just the phrasing I've been doing is like the juice just ain't worth the squeeze. Like, even if I think I did everything right, if one person thinks otherwise, well, then we all lose.
So, Stephen, what's next? What's next? Now that you have former Cheektowaga counsel on your resume, what's next for Stephen Nowicki?
Well, I think the best thing is kind of reviewing what I want to do in life and trying to do a better job at that, because the God's honest truth was when you try to put a lot of work into doing a good job on the council, as much as they say it's part time, it took a toll on my mental health for sure, my personal life, my relationships with others. It's just extremely difficult to commit to something that you really believe in, and dealing with, just by the nature of the business, the people in the town that are dealing with the worst things, whether it's either problems from outside the town that you have to deal with for people's properties, or people who just have strife in their life that you need to solve, or internal politics within like the structure of the town. It's just dealing with all that is such a stress that I think taking a step back, figuring out what my best values are for going forward and excelling at those would be the most important thing for me right now.
So when you look back on it, was it a lack of communication on your part in the vetting process, or was it a lack of being communicated the exact rules by either the party or the town?
Look, ultimately, at the end of the day, this falls on me. I signed a contract with one sentence that took everything down, where it said, both people need to be on there. If anybody who's signed mortgage documents before knows that there's a whole lot you got to read through. And just because it's a lot to read doesn't mean that's not my fault, and I got to own that. But that's really what it came down to, because I talked to so many people about this, not even just on my side of the political spectrum, realtors, people in the political sphere, civil workers. And everyone thought, this is like, as long as you're not living there full time and making it so you're the Cheektowaga councilman from Buffalo District, that it's not going to be a problem. But evidently, one sentence out of all that paperwork is the kicker.
Now, Stephen, you've also been quite vocal on social media. And I had a, if I knew you were calling in, I would have found this post. But you did have a post where you said something about Cheektowaga Republicans, and mm-hmm. I completely forgot what the post was. But can we expect that commentary to continue?
No, God, no. The day I got to resign from my position on the council, I deleted all my social media because, that is just a strain on everyone's mental toll, and mine too. I don't feel, I didn't take back what I said, and I'm definitely not going to repeat it on the air for the sake of you and your station. It brings out the worst in people, genuinely, on all sides, and myself included. I'm a blue-collar guy, construction worker, electrician, so I've definitely said far worse in my days. But do I think that reflects well on myself or anyone else? No, but does it reflect on how I was feeling? Definitely. I think I'll probably stay as much away from the public eye as possible, just for I don't see a need to be in there right now. I never was before, and God willing, I don't need to be in the future.
I always say, Stephen, social media, it's we didn't realize how other people talked in their echo chambers, and then you had social media, so now you're saying it for everyone to see. And I think we're more divided now, and I think social media really plays into it. But people were saying those things in their in one-on-one conversations 25 years ago. Now you have social media, and everyone is repeating it, and then everyone goes to either their True Social account or their Blue Sky account, and it's just like these online echo chambers, and it really is an insight to how some people feel just based on their political opinion.
What upsets me the most is I think what the other people were saying was much more egregious than anything I had to say, but they are not the council members, so, you know, the spotlight isn't on them.
Yeah, I have to say, with all just 100% honesty, it was sent to me, Stephen. I didn't see it on social. It was sent to me, so I couldn't tell you what was else was said in the comment section, because obviously it was, you know, cut out and sent to me just your post. So I can't, to be fair, I can't say, and I'm sure you could probably find the back and forth just as bad.
I'm sorry about not giving you the heads up. I actually only heard that I was a subject of this segment a couple minutes before this even happened. So my bad.
No, Stephen, as I always say, I miss the days, you know, back when I first started here 16 years ago, you would have, you know, a Sandy Beach or a Tom Bowerly talking about a Democrat in the city of Buffalo or in Erie County. And during the break, that Democrat would call the hotline. Yeah, I want to talk this out with Bowerly. Great, you put him on. Now, it's as if, you know, too many politicians, they run away from that opportunity instead of, I mean, what you did. Hey, you're going to talk about me? Well, then I'm going to call in and defuse this before it gets out of hand. I wish people who are still in elected officials, Stephen, I wish they would do exactly what you did, because I think we all need to talk. As Mitch Nowakowski says, we all need to talk to one another. And if I can set that example, I'll be glad to do it 6 days a week right here on WBEN.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, you know, I think you and I probably disagree on a good number of things, but I bet if we didn't need to talk about the things on the fringes that really don't affect our day-to-day life and just had a beer and talked about what are our communal values, that I bet we could get along pretty well.
1,000%. Well, Stephen, I really appreciate you talking this out and having a conversation about it. And anytime you want to be back on the show, you just call in. We'll have you right on.
Thanks for always being a great guy to talk to. Really appreciate it.
Thank you, Stephen. Stephen Nowicki, now former Cheektowaga Council member due to residency issues. And just so you get the full view of this, the Cheektowaga Republican chair also released a statement. And I will read that because you heard from Stephen. He is the person in question. So we will be fair to Don Filipowski. Hope I got that right, who released the following statement. As if it wasn't bad enough that Councilmember Stephen Nowicki was helping advance a socialist agenda in Cheektowaga, it now appears he was collecting a taxpayer-funded salary while primary residence was in the city of Buffalo. The resignation is a major embarrassment for Supervisor Brian Nowak and the Cheektowaga Democratic primary. They failed to ensure that one of their own town board members met the basic legal qualifications to serve, and the issue was only addressed after it became public. Cheektowaga taxpayers deserve accountability, transparency, and elected officials who follow the law. They also deserve leaders who are focused on lowering taxes, supporting law enforcement, and protecting the quality of life in our community instead of pushing the far-left policies that have failed elsewhere. This November, voters will have the opportunity to end the far-left control of Town Hall and elect a common-sense leader who will help restore accountability and put Cheektowaga taxpayers back in charge. Again, that was the Cheektowaga Republican chair responding to the resignation of Councilmember Stephen Nowicki, who you just heard right here on News Radio 930 WBEN. And I'm glad you called in. Like I said, you could defuse, and this David has said the same thing. Like, you can defuse any situation by just calling in. You want to talk it out. You don't like what I'm saying, what David's saying, what Tom's saying, you call the number, right? I as soon as I got off the air, I walk in and Tanner goes, the person on hold seems to think he's the subject of your next topic. I said, is it Stephen Nowicki? And Tanner goes, yes. I go, he is. And it was, you know, and there you go. You got his side of it. I gave you the Republican chair's response in Cheektowaga, and there you go. Again, I do agree with the Republican chair. It is kind of embarrassing for Cheektowaga Democrats. Does it move a needle in November? We'll have to wait and see. But obviously, as you know, me and Stephen talked about, it was a miscommunication on someone's part. And you know, if the shoe was on the other foot, as they say. My gosh, Jeremy Zellner would be issuing statements. He'd be on TV. He wouldn't come on this station, but he'd be on TV talking about how awful the Republican Party is, right? You know how it is. Zellner would be doing laps with this if a Republican was caught doing what Nowicki did. I'm just being honest. So I think it's only fitting that the Cheektowaga Republican chair issued a statement. But like I said, I'm glad that Stephen called in. And I do agree with about social media. You know, I mean, gosh, the post I see. And it's so funny. I have some really good friends who I care a lot about who don't agree with me politically, and that's fine. You don't have to agree with me politically to be friends with me or, you know, for me to like you. But they'll post like, and then they'll text me, "Hey, you coming over? You coming over next week for the game?" And like, yeah, I am. But do you realize you just posted a meme saying the world would be better without Trump supporters? Like, you shared that meme on your Instagram 5 minutes ago and then text me asking if I was coming over for the game, which, again, I am. I don't care. But, like, you could have said Trump's wrong, Trump's awful, all this stuff. The world would be a better place without Trump supporters. Like, dude, you think the world would be better without me. And now you're asking me to come over and bring a 30-pack to watch a baseball game. Do you realize what you even posted? I think some people don't. I think some people just blindly repost. Oh, this is something against Trump. Repost, repost, repost. And again, you don't like Trump. Oh, okay, whatever. You disagree with MAGA, fine. But you literally put, I mean, this is a real life situation that happened a few months ago. You literally put, the world would be a better place without Trump supporters. And then picked up, I guess you're on the same phone, switched apps and asked me if I was still down to come over for the game. What are we doing here? Like, hey, this might be a shock to the listeners of this station. I was not a big Biden fan. I know. I hear you. I'm not a big polling cars guy, okay? I don't really like Mark Polling Cars, politically or personally, okay? I'm not a big fan of Sean Ryan's policies. Now, personally, we get along. I don't like his policies. You would never see me put, the world would be a better place without Joe Biden supporters. I think socialism is, I think people that want to go towards socialism don't have a grasp on history. I think socialism, what's the saying, is great until you run out of other people's money. I think going in a socialist direction is a dangerous move. I would still never post, the world would be a better place without democratic socialists. You have a different opinion. I think your opinion's dangerous. I think the way you want to take the country's dangerous. I still would never post that. But these anti-Trump libs, the stuff they put, I mean, regularly, can't wait till I'm reading Trump's obituary. I mean, talk about taking it too far. But we have to harp and we have to focus only on what Republicans say and what Trump says. Yeah, Trump says some stuff that I would advise him not to say. Trump says a lot of stuff that is, what's the word? Trump says a lot of stuff that is not really, doesn't really help the cause. I forgot what the word I'm looking for is, right? He says stuff that doesn't really help push anything. But I vote for Trump. I like Trump because the stuff he's trying to get done, for the most part, I agree with. But I can sit here and say, yeah, there's a lot of things he said that I would never say. I don't think that's an outrageous statement to make. But then you have people that, you know, they just take it way too far. And again, the world would be a better place without Trump supporters. Okay, well, if you feel that way, then maybe don't talk to me. I don't get it. I do think a lot of people just repost. They see it's anti-Trump. They don't even think about what they're reposting. 803-0930, star 930. You just heard from Stephen Nowicki, by the way. Any thoughts on his explanation? Any thoughts on this situation? We'll take your calls on that. We'll continue to take your calls on the Buffalo Public School and the school board and everything going on there. Also, when we come back, Kathy Hochul thinks, no, it's not bail reform we need to revisit. We just need to throw money at the violence situation and it will go away. We'll talk about that after this on WBEN.
The Recap Show is an inside look for fans into the world of global soccer, women's sports, and all things gal culture.
From the inside perspective of two World Cup champions and Olympians.
Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Segment, Joe Beamer on News Radio 930 WBEN. Before we get to Kathy Hochul and throwing money at violence, on Tuesday I said I was going to go to a Friendly's. Remember that? I had that discussion. I was going to drive 21 miles out of my way to go to Friendly's. Yeah, that never happened. Very upset about it now that I've been reminded on the text board. Very upset about not going to Friendly's. So that was the plan on Wednesday, to go to lunch at Friendly's. And I thought I had a communal or enough people to say, yeah, I'll do that with you. Then when Wednesday came around, I said, hey, we still going to Friendly's for lunch? No, it's a beautiful day. We're on the beach. Why did we go 21 miles for lunch? Well, then why? That should have been the conversation on Monday when I brought it up. So I didn't go to Friendly's. I didn't get the honey mustard. Didn't find an open Ruby Tuesdays on the drive home. I didn't get to hit any of them up. But on my birthday, I'm going to be in Maryland, the state, and there is a Fuddruckers very close to the University of Maryland campus, or so I've been told. So I may get to have an ostrich burger on my birthday, and we can at least say I went to Fuddruckers for the first time in what, 10, 15 years? When did Fuddruckers close? It probably was like 13 years ago. I was working here when it closed. But yeah, I was looking forward to that Friendly's honey mustard. I think it's the best. I remember it as being the best. But like, I have to go get reminded. Like, I need to go to a Friendly's and have the honey mustard. Because if I'm sitting here like an idiot saying how great it was and it's no good anymore. Anyway, speaking of running around like an idiot. No, that's not nice. I'm sorry. But the governor of this very state thinks that now the answer to many of the problems facing New York, facing Buffalo with violence, is just throwing money at the problem. And, you know, apparently we didn't learn that with education, but we're now doing that with violence and Governor Hochul now throwing $1 million at the violence situation after the 4th of July shootings here in Buffalo, New York. And again, anything but focusing on bail reform, reforming bail reform. How many people do you need in law enforcement, DAs, people who see these cases? How many do you need to hear from before you realize, oh, maybe I'm not the know-it-all? Too many of our elected officials think they're the know-it-all, that they know more than people in the actual field. So this is from the Buffalo News. The state has a response to recent violence in Western New York. It comes with 6-0s. Albany, that's where this was printed. Well, no, this was printed in Cleveland. Actually, it's Monday. This was never printed. It's just put on the website. The state will pump $1 million to law enforcement agencies and anti-crime programs in Erie and Niagara counties to respond to recent surge in gun violence in Buffalo and Niagara Falls over the 4th of July weekend. The state's Division of Criminal Justice Services will administer $350,000 to Erie County and the city of Buffalo and another $150,000 to Niagara County in the city of Niagara Falls to aid their work under the state's Gun-Involved Violence Elimination Initiative. The program covers 28 communities outside New York City. Hochul, who has boasted about crime drops across the state and region in recent years, acknowledged the violence over the holiday weekend that included the shootings of 11 victims in Buffalo, 3 in the Falls, including 3 fatalities. In light of recent violence, Common Council member Mitch Nowakowski asked the city's law department to consider an ordinance to make the Chippewa bar strip inaccessible to people under 21. The funds are from the state's recently enacted $277 billion state budget. Now, again, where does this money help people being arrested? Because we still don't have a shooter arrested from the July 4th weekend shootings. 11 shot in less in 2 hours. Yet we have no arrest. We hear all about getting the promoter of the event, but we have no arrests when it comes to the people that actually pulled the trigger. And Kathy Hochul's answer is, let's throw money at it. Let's throw money at it. Is that going to solve kids breaking into cars, knowing that it will be wiped off their record once they turn 18? Is throwing $1 million at it going to stop the person who's been, you know, released on appearance ticket after appearance ticket after appearance ticket, who keeps on doing the crime they know that they can get out with no bail and then go to a judge and a judge will give them the minimum sentence, right? A fine or throw it out altogether. Is $1 million going to stop that? This is just another way to ignore that it's your policies that Sean Ryan signed off on, by the way, that are making the cities in New York State less safe. And I know you guys are sick of me going to the same example, but I will continue to go back to the example of the convicted murderer who pulled a knife on a deputy mayor and was released with an appearance ticket because it was a fourth degree weapon possession charge. And we don't look at the circumstance. Everything is just blanket, right? So no circumstance, no situation. It's look at the charge and the charge alone when determining bail. And that doesn't work. You know, unless you talk to activist judges, that doesn't work. Talk to anyone who serves or served on the bench, again, who's not an activist judge. Talk to any DA who's not a party plant. Talk to any member of law enforcement. These policies are a huge problem. You have officers talking about why even go through arresting someone when you won't even be done with the paperwork before they're walking out of the station. But Kathy Hochul's answer is to throw money the state doesn't have, by the way. Probably something we should throw out there. Money the state does not have. And we're going to throw $1 million at violence. Instead of, I don't know, asking the commissioner to do her job and arrest the shooter, put a better plan in place when you know something that is going to get out of control is organized. What is $1 million going to do? Knowing Buffalo's issues, they'll just take it and throw it at the deficit. No, I'm kidding. They're not going to do that. And I continue to go back to this and just be surprised. I don't know why I'm still surprised. I really need to stop with the optimistic thinking that I look at every situation and I try to be so optimistic, and I need to stop. But I do not understand how Democrats in Albany and the governor, who is also a Democrat in Albany, doesn't see the failure of bail reform, doesn't see the failure of raise the age. I mean, for crying out loud, they ignored the mayor of Albany saying it's time to revisit raise the age. A Democrat, by the way. The unwillingness to revisit this. And again, what's the answer to 11 shot in 2 hours and no arrest of a gunman? Let's throw money at it. Has that worked with education? throwing money at it? Has that helped with poverty in New York State, throwing money at it? Has that helped? Do we have less poverty in New York State because we threw money at it? Do we have better test scores in New York State because we threw money at it? I don't think so. That's not always the case. You know, it's funny. Yesterday, I sent my wife a meme where it said, in quotations, money doesn't fix everything. And then the guy saying, literally, money would fix every problem in my life. But that's in your personal life. Okay? Not when we're talking about violence, test scores, poverty. I know you might think, well, Joe, poverty, if you throw money at poverty, you might not be poor anymore. Yeah, if you throw money. But if the state just continues to throw money at these situations, again, it doesn't completely fix the problem. And with violence, for sure. Now, throwing money, are you going to hire more officers? Oh, wait. Buffalo can't recruit any officers. They're short on the officers they've been allotted. I don't think throwing money is going to magically make people who don't think the mayor in City Hall stands with the police officers, I don't think throwing money at that is just going to magically make more people want to be a police officer in the city of Buffalo. And I don't know, is this something that you just do until election, and then maybe Kathy Hochul finally admits that bail reform was a complete failure and that it needs to be revisited? Again, I think that might just be wishful thinking, because I kind of thought that last time and it wasn't revisited. 803-0930, star 930, Matt's in Lackawanna. Hey, Matt.
Hey, how you doing, girl? Yeah, I'm 62, and when I was a kid, the Democratic Party in Buffalo, Stan Mikowski, Jimmy Griffin, that party catered towards the working families. Buffalo was full of working families, South Buffalo. That party has drifted so far left, and now it's the party that the statewide that takes care of. If you don't work, you're able-bodied, you don't work, and you just want to get a free check, as long as they get your vote, they want you. If you're, and I'm not racist, but if you're black and you're female, we'll hire you, but you're not qualified, we'll hire you for the school board in Buffalo. They'll never hire the people that should be hired in the school board in Buffalo, because, you know, if it's a white guy, you know, that is qualified, I look like Larry Quinn. You know, look what happened with him. They railroaded him out, it sounds like. And they'll never get in a position to straighten that department out. And as far as the crime, look at the crime, bail reform. Hochul's closed six correctional facilities since she's been in there. These guys commit a crime, and it's true. By the time the cops get done with the paperwork, these guys are out. The correctional facilities, they're just running wild, and the COs are, it's such a high-stress job now because the inmates run the asylum. You know, when I was in there back in the day, the big thing is you did not smoke in those units. Now they're smoking and walking right by the COs and blowing the smoke in their face. You know, it's all catered towards the far left and the lazy and the riffraff, and that's how Buffalo and New York State went. And it's a Titanic, and we're out of the band right now. If something doesn't straighten out, if they don't vote her out, it's going to be the final nail in the coffin.
I'll hang up. Yeah, Matt in Lackawanna. Yeah, I you know, we see the polling, Bruce Bateman's within 10 points. I'll tell you this, and this is probably not going to go over well with a lot of listeners. I had hope that Kathy Hochul would be more moderate than Cuomo. But the way Kathy Hochul's gone, she's made Cuomo look more moderate, which I didn't think was possible. I think she's been a big disappointment as governor, and you know, yay, she's from Buffalo. Yay, she got us a new stadium. But she has really dropped the ball when it comes to bail reform. When it comes to, in the prisons, you still have National Guard troops. They're not trained for that. They don't want to be there. She still has National Guard troops in the prisons because she won't admit that the HALT Act is a complete failure. It's really sad, and again, it's letting politics dictate everything you do. And Matt's right. what's going to get us your vote? You know, I always say, we're going to put this together. We're going to do this one day. I want to get a panel of East Side voters and talk about the promises that were broken for the East Side and the issues facing the East Side. But you only see elected officials on the East Side when it's election time. And hey, you know, you've been failed in the past and we're going to make it right. And then they're elected and you don't see the mayor on the East Side. You don't see all the stuff that was promised to the East Side, right? You don't see that. It's we'll be back in 4 years. And that's not fair. There are a lot of issues that need to be addressed all over the city of Buffalo. But come election time, oh, we hear about all the issues on the East Side that, you know, this person's going to attack and make sure that, you know, property owners are charged for, you know, houses that are falling apart, businesses that are falling apart. We're going to bring business back. And then the election's over and you never hear from them until the next election. I mean, Sean Ryan's been in office for 7 months. He hasn't done anything about the lead in the soil on the East Side. Multiple properties tested. Multiple showing way over the acceptable level of lead. What's Sean Ryan done about it? He's too busy signing executive orders saying that law enforcement can't work with ICE. Now, you want to talk about ridiculous. And I have to say that United denies this story. But according to WCCO, an Odyssey station, United offers free flight changes to avoid newly renamed Trump International Airport. This is from Joe Keeley 3 days ago. United Airlines is giving passengers the option to switch flights at no extra cost if they prefer not to land at the newly renamed President Donald J. Trump Airport in Palm Beach, Florida. The airline issued an internal memo to reservation agents instructing them to accommodate customers who object to the name change. Previously known as Palm Beach International Airport, travelers can opt for nearby alternatives such as Fort Lauderdale Hollywood International Airport or Miami International Airport as an even exchange subject to availability. The memo obtained by aviation blog Live and Let's Fly includes suggested language for agents. Quote, I understand that you'd rather not fly to this airport anymore. We can look at nearby airports like Fort Lauderdale or Miami instead. Is that an acceptable alternative? The name change took effect recently under state law honoring the sitting president. The airport's three-letter code is expected to transition from PBI to DJT on August 18th. United is updating its systems accordingly. The move comes after some passengers voiced strong objections to renaming the airport's name, that's poorly written, with complaints ranging from political disagreement to concerns about the change itself. Airport officials have noted that the renaming does not affect operations, ownership, or governance. Can I just say, if you're freaking out by the name of the airport you're landing in, if you look at your ticket and it says you're landing at the Donald Trump Airport and you break down over that, the name change is not the problem. You're the problem. You're the problem when it comes to the political rhetoric in this country. My gosh. Again, I'm not the biggest Barack Obama fan. But if they change the airport, O'Hare Airport, to President Barack Obama Airport, and my flight was going through Chicago to get to Vegas, I'm not going to reroute my flight because I'm landing at President Barack Obama Airport. My gosh, I couldn't even tell you some of the name of the airports. The fact that people are freaking out enough to where United's like, hey, we'll move you for free. That's just ridiculous. That might win the most ridiculous story of the week. And that's the show. Hey, it's great to be back. Thank you to Stephen Nowicki for calling in and explaining the situation in Cheektowaga. I'll be back tomorrow at 1. Tanner, thanks as always. Tom is next on WBEN.
Lemonade! Fresh squeeze lemonade! Lemonade? Oh, nuts.
Is your business struggling to be seen? Not reaching the right customers?
Yeah.
Odyssey's here to help. Your one-stop shop for digital marketing.
Wait, really?
With targeted digital media, plus SEO, SEM, social, OTT, and more, we help your business reach the right audience and drive results.
Whoa, hey, one at a time.
Stop missing out on valuable customers. Visit digitallocalads.com to learn more about our local advertising solutions. That's digitallocalads.com.
Okay, people, mine starts here.